You will say something first?
Please join us in worship with Everlasting God.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Greetings in the name of Jesus, and welcome to worship on this third Sunday of May. May you be built up in the faith as you take part in this service, as you wait upon the Lord and renew your faith and trust in the everlasting God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gather together in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, and we do want to wait upon you that we might be refreshed and renewed and encouraged during this worship service. We need you. We look to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just several announcements, calling your attention to the fact that this week's bulletin has a thank you note in it from Ron and Helen Walker, showing appreciation for your calls, your cards, your prayers, the flowers from the church during Ron's recent hospitalization. There's also a note in there regarding the upcoming elder selection process, and asking church members to be in prayer regarding all of that. And it also calls attention to the Zoom fellowship time taking place this afternoon. All right, let's continue to sing. We start with "This Is the Day" and go right from that to "He Has Made Me Glad," and then "Praise to the Lord, the Almighty." And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. I trust that you are continuing to praise the Lord. We truly do have so much to be thankful for. And we do want to remember to keep the main thing being our salvation and our relationship with the Lord. Just several things that are not on the prayer list in your bulletin. We want to continue to pray for Kenneth Hetrick, who had spent some time in the hospital the end of the past week here with chest pains. We want to also remember Lila Slabaugh, who will be having gallbladder surgery coming up sometime, whenever that gets scheduled. And we do especially want to remember James Moore, who has his surgery at Cleveland Clinic scheduled for May 22. That's just around the corner now. So having said that, let's pray. Gracious God, we do rejoice in you and thank you for your bountiful blessings, and thank you that you are such a great, everlasting, almighty God, and that we can come to you with our needs and our petitions. We thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, and we especially want to lift before you these individuals who are dealing with health complications and are hurting and are waiting for surgeries. And we trust that you will be especially near to James Moore during this next week, and with Lila Slabaugh as she waits upon you, and with Kenneth Hetrick and some of the things that he has been dealing with and in need of, and with the others that are listed here as well. There are other people who are waiting for surgery, who are dealing with pain, who are looking to you for relief, and that we pray that you would provide for them. And continue, Lord, to be at work in our community with those that are dealing with the effects of the virus, that have lost loved ones because of it, that and our medical people that are working on the front lines and first responders. Bless them and keep them as well. And we trust that you will continue to guide and direct our government officials, and grant them wisdom, and grant us wisdom and grace as well as we think about when and how to reopen the church. And we just bring all of these things before you as we pray in the name of Jesus, and trust that you will continue to be at work in our service, and you receive the praise and the glory for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. All right, be blessed as Kathy Brown has our music ministry today. I'll be back to preach in just a moment. Well, a recent Beetle Bailey comic strip had an interesting exchange between the camp chaplain and Beetle. So, the chaplain says, "You should come to hear my sermon on Sunday, Beetle." Beetle says, "I'd like to." The next frame, "But Sunday is the day of rest, and I'll be resting all day." Well, we've been looking at the Ten Commandments, and we're ready for the fourth one. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Our Bible text today is found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now, what was God's intent in giving the fourth commandment there? What was his desired outcome? Or what are the implications for you and I today? To help us think about these things, I'm going to divide it into three parts. I'll talk about a day of rest, a day of remembrance, and then a day of rest and remembrance, combining those two. So let's start with a day of rest. Let me actually start that by saying this, that work is a good thing. It's part of our calling as human beings. In fact, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Thessalonians one time, took folks to task. They could have been working but weren't. They were idle and consequently were becoming busybodies. And so Paul said in chapter 3, verse 10, "Even when we were with you, we commanded you in this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat." So work is a good thing for a number of reasons, but so is rest. The person who thinks that they can work 7 days a week, 365 days a year, has failed to recognize the wisdom of God in ordering the universe. I say ordering the universe because it was God that designed things. It was God that set things into motion and instituted a particular rhythm for mankind. So according to verse 11 of our text, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now, have you ever thought about that? Or have you ever wondered, why is it that God rested on the Sabbath day? Or on the seventh day, rather. Was God so worn out after he created the heavens and the earth, after he created the fish and the animals and the birds, so worn out that he just had to crash? Was God so tired upon his creation, which had included Adam and Eve, that he was absolutely exhausted? No, that really is not the case. It's not that God needed to rest. God established a pattern because he knew what you and I would be needing. James Griffin, in his brief article, Remembering the Lord's Day, notes that people, being such as they are physically and morally, cannot be maintained with soundness in either realm without the proper observance and employment of 1 day and seven as a day of rest and worship. And then he states this, and I find this so fascinating. I would like to read or to come across perhaps some more information regarding this, but he says experts who have made surveys declare that the person who begins the first day of the work week 100% normal in strength loses in percentage of vitality more during the period of that first 24 hours than he's able to recover during that same period of 24 hours. So the person begins that second day at a level lower than normal, and each succeeding days lowers the tide of his power below the level which the first workday was begun. And thus it has been discovered that the seventh day provides just enough rest, in addition to the nights of the preceding 6 days, to restore a person to normal vitality so he may start the new week or cycle of 7 days alert in mind, sound in body, confident of spirit, and in the exercise of all energies needed for the accomplishment of his daily task. Well, what did Jesus say about the Sabbath? He said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Sometimes it gets turned around, and that gets everybody into a heap of trouble. That's from Mark 2:27. So think about it. What God intended, or what God instituted in regards to the weekly rhythm, was actually for our benefit. It was for the benefit of men and women and their families. In the Ten Commandments, God had said, in 6 days you shall do your labor and do all your work, but the seventh day of the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, and interestingly, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So, that was not intended to burden the people, but rather to be a blessing to the people. One day a week they were to put their work aside that they might be physically refreshed and renewed. Now, most of us did not at all appreciate the lockdown that we've experienced, for how many weeks during this pandemic. But for some, we have to admit, it did result in there being greater times of rest available during that one day a week. In fact, for some, it forced them to get off the seemingly never-ending treadmill. Isn't that what it seems like sometimes for people? So we've talked about the Sabbath being a day of rest, but I'd like us now to move on and think about the Sabbath as being a day of remembrance. And for this, I want to turn in the Scriptures to the other place in the Old Testament where the Ten Commandments are listed. So I'm turning now to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in verses, the interesting thing is, I guess I won't reread them, because in verses 12, 13, and 14, we have the same thing stated. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work. The seventh is the Sabbath of the Lord. And it lists all of the things as it did in the Exodus passage. Then in verse 15, it gives a different rationale. And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Now, it's not that people would have been totally oblivious to the Lord throughout the week. But tell me something. What happens when life gets busy, when things get crazy? What happens when you feel like you're on a merry-go-round and can't get off, or you're in a roller coaster, or whatever, in regards to work and family and responsibilities and everything that's clamoring and beckoning for your time and attention? It may be that we're not as spiritually anchored as we think. or that we ought to be. And just perhaps, the Lord knew what he was doing in regards to having a weekly time of remembrance for his people. It may seem a bit odd to think about some of this while we're on social distancing and don't have a worship service here at the church. I do understand that. I get it. But what we've been dealing with here recently for health reasons is not normal. It should not be normal and customary for followers of Jesus. Okay, so Beadle Bailey knew about the weekly day of rest. But that day should also be a day of remembrance. It should also be a day when we remember what the Lord has done through our worship, as we worship him in song, just like we did here a little bit ago in this worship service, recognizing who the Lord is and what he has done. And we hear from him through the preaching of the word and the other things that take place as we share together. The Bible says this in Hebrews 10, verses 23 to 25, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day." That's some of your Bibles, you'll see it with a capital D, the day, or the day of the Lord, the day of his return, approaching. So what has our practice been like regarding worshiping the Lord? Hopefully it's been a priority for us and our family. Hopefully it's a time that is protected so that we say no to other things that might beckon our attention, and so that we can say yes to that which not only honors the Lord but helps to build us up in the faith. You see, it's not just the rejuvenating of our bodies that is needed. It's the rejuvenating of our souls. On one occasion, Jesus said this. He said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your," what? Your body? No, for your soul. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, if you want to look it up and ponder it later. The Sabbath actually was a picture also, or a foreshadowing, of people having their burdens lifted and of them experiencing an inner rest. As it's put in Hebrews 4, verses 9 and 10, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God, for he who has entered his," that is, God's rest, "has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his." Now, the fourth commandment, as it's recorded in Deuteronomy 5:15, said what? "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So think about it. You and I were in spiritual bondage. We were enslaved to sin. We were in captivity to the devil. But Jesus rescued us. Through his death on the cross and resurrection from the dead, he made possible our redemption and our salvation. And when we gather together to worship, it is indeed a time to reflect or to remember this very thing, to remember what great things the Lord has done for us. It indeed is a time to be refreshed spiritually. It's in time to encourage one another in the faith. So, we've talked about the Sabbath being a day of rest, the Sabbath being a day of remembrance, as we consider the Exodus account and the Deuteronomy account. But now, let's think about the Sabbath being a day of rest and remembrance. What does it look like? Or what does it look like for us today? And my guess is by now, perhaps for quite some time this morning, you've been thinking, but Christians don't observe the Sabbath, do they? Isn't the Sabbath the seventh day of the week? That's right, it is. The Jewish Sabbath, sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. You're right, it's Saturday when LL Airlines don't fly, and it's Saturday when Jewish shopkeepers close up. It's Saturday when there are strict guidelines for observing the Sabbath. I found it so interesting when we bought the two new gas ranges for the church kitchen. I was flipping through the owner's manual and the operating instructions. Did you know there is information in there that these two ranges have a Sabbath feature? And so if the Sabbath feature is used, and you want to, therefore, make use of the keypad on the Sabbath, it won't accept it. You cannot be making any changes or doing anything because of that Sabbath feature. Why then do we worship on Sunday? Why do we refer to Sunday as the Lord's Day, the way we have it printed in our bulletin? The Lord's Day, May 17, 2020. It's because, for one thing, Jesus resurrected from the dead on the first day of the week. It's in recognition of this greatest thing that the Lord did for us through Jesus and the resurrection. It's because also of how the Apostle Paul instructed the believers at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you also must do on the first day of the week. Let each of you lay aside something, storing up as he may prosper." And it's also, actually, there are some other passages, but the one that I'm reminded of is when John was out on the Isle of Patmos and he was given this revelation. He talks about being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet." Revelation 1:10. Now, in our particular confession of faith in a Mennonite perspective, the statement is made that in the present time, the church celebrates a day of holy rest, commonly the first day of the week. The church celebrates a day of holy rest, commonly the first day of the week. Now, I had to think about this. I know a pastor who used to serve a Mennonite church, and of course they gathered for worship on Sunday, like we do, and thought of it in terms of the Lord's Day. But at least the last I had contact with him, he was serving a Messianic Jewish congregation. In other words, it's Jews who had come to faith in Jesus, trusting him as the Messiah. And they have retained their practice of the seventh day. And so it's on Saturday when they gather for their day of, quote, holy rest. Now, sometimes also, you know, people may wonder, we have, for example, have some medical people or nurses from our congregation. So what if they are scheduled to work on Sunday? What then? Well, obviously, people's needs need to be tended to. and so forth. But in cases like that, the person might come aside then a different day of the week, whether it's Saturday, or actually I know some pastors who take Monday aside. Anyway, so what should this one day out of seven look like? You know, over the years, there have been two extremes. It's like a pendulum, you know, our grandfather clock. It swings from one extreme to the other. So the one extreme ended up being a very legalistic approach. The Jews, for example, came up with laws, hundreds of laws, actually hundreds upon hundreds of laws for keeping the Sabbath holy. So one of their laws, you know, I would have been in trouble as a boy climbing a tree on Sunday or on, you know, the Lord's Day. But why is that taboo? Well, because there may be a branch that breaks off. And so that would be constituting work. Now, those of you in your kitchens, another law to strict Sabbath keeping, if you are you can't combine a liquid and a solid, because you know why? Because that then would involve kneading, mixing, you know, work. And I don't have it right now, but I always tend to have a pen or a pencil with me when I'm in the pulpit on Sundays. That is a symbol of work. So, you know, there were hundreds upon hundreds of these kinds of things in various categories. In the New Testament, we read how that the Pharisees at one point got irate when the disciples plucked heads of grain and ate them, and when Jesus himself was doing a healing on the Sabbath. And so, there, Jesus was not doing away with things, but he was bringing needed correctives. And he was pointing out to them, well, first of all, he was pointing out to them that, hey, I'm Lord of the Sabbath, too. I'm Lord, you know. But secondly, as we've already noted, Jesus was saying, hey, guys, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, the other extreme is a total disregard for the fourth commandment. It's what has become characteristic of contemporary American culture in many regards. Now, most of us don't remember at all when the blue laws, this is decades ago, were repealed. Because when those blue laws were still in effect in our countries, stores were not allowed to be open on Sundays. And after they were repealed, the Judeo-Christian perspective began to vanish from the public sector. Now what it means for America to be rocking involves business as usual 7 days a week. It's back to nonstop, around-the-clock activity. Now, the Bible does caution us against judging one another in regards to details surrounding a number of things, including diets and days and things of this nature. But what then can we say about the fourth commandment? The Lord's Day, and I'm using that term, it's actually used by the Christian church, generally speaking. If I'd had time today, I could have shared with you what some other denominations say in their confessions of faith, whether it be Evangelical Friends or United Methodist or Reformed Church or whatever, but at any rate, what do we say? Well, in regards to the remembrance aspect, it certainly involves public worship. It involves reflecting and remembering Christian fellowship and thinking about what the Lord has done for us. In regards to the resting aspect, it would certainly involve taking a break from the business of the week and laying aside these things that are unnecessary for a day. May you and I find it a blessing and a delight to enter into this weekly rhythm, this weekly pattern. Let's pray. Gracious God, we marvel at your wisdom, and forgive us where we have thought of things as being burdensome when you intended them to actually to be for our benefit and for our edification. But at any rate, we trust that you will continue to be at work and help us first and foremost to enter into your rest, that we might have rest of our souls, and then also that we might enjoy and benefit by that which you had instituted for our well-being. And so we just continue to trust you and to look to you and, yes, to rest in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, for our song of response today, this is the day the Lord has made.
Amen.